Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
And now, a public service announcement from Carolla Drinks.
For too long, leprechauns have been confined to only Irish and luck, but there is so much more to those little gold-loving fucks. Their athletic prowess is unrivaled. Just take a look at any NBA roster. They're terrific in the kitchen and are, most importantly, unbelievably sexy. Their four-foot stature, luscious red beards, and perfectly askew yellow teeth make leprechauns irresistible, virile beasts in the sack. Not to mention they have some of the most massive hogs in the animal kingdom. So, this St. Paddy's Day, celebrate the sexiness of leprechauns with our featured deal, the Sexy Leprechaun Kit. You'll get a bottle of white peach pear, a signed recipe card from Lynette, two Carolla drinks glasses, plus all you'll need to make this signature cocktail. So, head to CarollaDrinks.com now. And this St. Paddy's Day, remember, leprechauns are f***ing sexy.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Haley Joel Osment. With Gina Grad on news, Walt Bryan on sound effects, and a new recipe from Gina in Eat Your Feelings. And now, a man who also got fired by Trump and testified before Congress, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. True. Man, it is true. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. Got good. Good news, bad news, medium news to share with you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Living the dream, yes. Positive energy.
I was, I'll tell you something weird. Anyway, this half of the show brought to you, by the way, I heard it at the podcast. It's Mike Rowe's podcast, by the way, which we love.
Yes.
And MedMen.com, Castrol Edge, Titanium Strong. Tell you about that. So, as you hear this, I'm getting ready to head over and do Kimmel's show. I was the lead guest, which means they couldn't find a good guest.
He's the lead guest?
I'm the lead guest. And,
What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, you said as you hear this.
Oh, not as you hear this. Yeah, I don't mean as you hear this. As I say this, I'm getting ready to head over. As you hear it.
As you hear this, he killed again.
Killed again. I got a message late last night. You were bumped. My reaction, because I'm a Carolla, is, oh, I don't have to do something. Fantastic.
Canceled plans are like heroin.
They really are.
Like John Mulaney says.
They really are. Like they. I don't know that it is like heroin and that it doesn't get you anywhere,
no,
but it feels
so good.
It feels good.
Oh, now I can nothing.
Right. And
sweet relief.
Then Mike August said, oh, not bumped. By the way, bumped means
stay home.
Kimmel's flown out to Letterman, sat in the green room in his dressing room, and been told that night no going on, and flown back from New York. Not part of the Green New Deal, by the way. Flying people out from one coast, having him sit and eat some pretzels and some cheese, and then go, turn around and go back to L.A. Not part of the Green New Deal.
Pump some crude while you're back there.
Yeah. That's right. So I told I was bumped, and then I said, oh, bumped? And then Mike said, not off the show, just from the first slot. And then he said, Lady Gaga is going to be the first guest. And
that makes sense.
It makes complete and utter sense. And I have been thinking about this. I don't know why all the Queen talk lately. It's just a lot of Queen and a lot of commercials, a lot of Queen at the Oscars, a lot of Queen, everything. And then I keep hearing that stupid Radio Gaga song. And I keep thinking about the missed opportunity for Weird Al to do a Lady O'Gaga.
Wow.
That, I mean, look, if he can do My Bologna and the Lasagna, song, you got Radio Gaga, you got Queen, and you got Lady Gaga. Let's do Lady O'Gaga. And, look, you write the rest of the stuff.
How would that go?
I'm saying...
Lady Gaga.
the master craftsman that put this masterpiece together, he could go ahead and do that with Lady Gaga. I don't know. Somewhere that rhymes with, Stars Born or Bradley Cooper or Into the Shallows or whatever it is. I'm not going to tell Weird Al what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling him, next subject, Lady Gaga. Yeah. To Radio Gaga
the
with
time
Lady.
Is nigh. Okay. And I've never said this before, but since you have had such a problem with people remembering to bring their styptic, I would like to volunteer to personally be your styptic holder if Lady Gaga is going to be there.
Well, it's funny because
whatever you can do to help.
Yeah,
I'm just here to help. I said to Natalia last night. I said I'm doing Kimmel tomorrow, and she went, "Can I go?" And she wants to go to Kimmel, but not her dancing. Issue. So
you're her mule for backstage.
So I was like, I don't know. I like the idea. I like the experience part. I'm very much into the experience part of kids, which is to say, going and sitting in a classroom. I can't. They're 3 or 4 days out of my entire scholastic experience that I remember sitting in the classroom. I remember when it
when was an earthquake.
Yeah, I mean, it's like my memories of in the classroom is Ray farting and then going out in the hall and me being moved by Mr. Bernal. I remember when a guy named Mike told Mr. Tompkins, I wish we could fight. Like, he's a ninth grader, said, like, I wish it was okay to throw down with you. I'd like to kick your ass. And Mr. Tompkins ran out the hall and yelled down the hall, "That's my middle name," at the ninth grader. But that's about all I remember. I don't remember any specific lessons or any specific days.
Scholastic achievements.
Yeah, I suppose if someone had an epileptic seizure or something, you'd remember that day.
You don't even remember carrying a woman to the nurse's office.
Well, it was a standing ovation that I think got rid of that mind. Right. I definitely would have remembered it. If somebody said, "What took you so long?" I would have went, "What do you mean? I was carrying a fat chick." And they would have went, "Well, next time you got to move faster." And then I went, "God, screw you. Next time you carry the fat chick." I would have remembered that.
Right. But stuck with
the standing O, I don't.
I blocked it out.
Now, going to Kimmel and going to the Long Beach Grand Prix and going to the Pebble Beach and going to the Oscars, and these are things that will be seared in one's memory. So I will happily keep my kid out of school any day of the week. But I told Natalia, your dad's the lead guest. I don't exactly know. And by the way, whoever's coming up behind me, you don't want to know that person. That person got kicked off of like Survivor Island like 3 seasons ago or something. Like, you don't need that. And then I found out 2 hours later Lady Gaga was coming on. Then I had to wrestle a little bit. Like, what do we do?
So, sorry, to clarify, did you get bumped down the line of guest order? Okay, you're still on the show.
I'm on after Lady Gaga.
Because you mentioned bumped and Kimmel and all that stuff.
That's what bumped means. That's why. Because Mike August can only be confusing. He has to use the word bumped. And it was bumped, but when you say bumped, you think off the show.
You're off the show in the first segment.
Especially with Kimmel, because his long-running joke was, sorry, we had to bump Matt Damon.
Right.
Right. The email or the conversation should be, you're in the second slot,
right.
Not you've been bumped. I'll let you react to that. And then let me circle back and tell you what really happened.
Now there's a real celebrity in slot number one, though.
Right.
So Natalia's got to reconcile that.
Is there a worry that you're spoiling Natalia with all these celebrities? She had Kim Kardashian. She has Lady Gaga.
Can she tell one visit from another?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Care?
She then came home from school because she threw up. At school.
She was excited.
She didn't know about it.
Lady Gaga.
And,
do you know what I'm going to say today?
I think we're gonna let sleeping dogs lie,
because
she was nauseous and asleep when I left the house. But I cleared it with Lynette. I was like, you tell me. And she's like, nah, let her stay.
She's
home.
Got a fever.
So
she's
pissed.
Actually sick.
Yeah. Although she would recover. I'm assuming. But then the reality is Lynette's a bigger Lady Gaga fan.
Well, and then it'll as be long the, as I'm using that spot.
Right. And it'll be in the headlines that Lady Gaga contracted meningitis.
I was actually going to say, like, you're a good dad. You want to give your kid good experiences. That's very admirable. But you also hate narcissists. And bringing a sick person around, not just, you know, celebrities and perform, but, you know, around other people, don't do that.
Yeah. And I wouldn't if she was sick. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. I live in a world where everyone's sick and then nobody's sick, right, depending on what's happening later that day.
Okay.
So everyone's too sick for school, but if they're going to Trampoline World, they have a very speedy recovery that afternoon.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not so sure what is
sick.
It's not the adult version of I was nauseous and I threw up. That's you down for 3 days. This is something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she bounced back in Trampoline World. So that's what they do. They
back
bounce
and up, back.
Back
and down. Back and down.
I want to thank everyone who's made it possible for the Not Taco Bell material. Austin, Burbank, Denver, Dallas, Phoenix, Seattle, Washington, D.C. all sold out.
Nice.
So thanks. And we shall put some more dates up on tug.com, and it's just a kind of an interesting experiment. You make your little movie and it never gets formally, there was no shot it would get into a theater because it had to be bought by a distributor or sold at Sundance or whatever. And even then it was a wrestling match to see if it ever went inside of a theater. Now you can put your movies in theater, so we'll keep you posted.
And we should do a hashtag that night, so everyone from all over the country who's at a screening can tweet their pictures, and we can all go to the hashtag, like, you know, NTBM, not Taco Bell material, whatever, just so we can all see the pictures from everyone from their screenings.
Well, I had the greatest moment, at least in a small feel-good kind of way. I was on the website before I went to bed, and I was like, I wonder how many how's the ticket sales going on over here, and or how many are we going to sell over there, and how many do we have left for Burbank if people want to come out, blah blah blah. And then I was like, where is Minneapolis? Minneapolis was on there, and it's gone. And this was 10 o'clock last night, and I said, what happened to Minneapolis? We sold like 100 tickets at Minneapolis.
It was also one of the first to clear the threshold.
I was like, what happened to Minneapolis? And it was off the page, and I don't read very well, so I scrolled down about five different times. I was like, no, it's not there. And then I woke up this morning, and I opened the computer, and somebody tweeted me, went to the Minneapolis show last night. It rocked.
What?
We all loved it. And I went, And then I remember, the 26th. One was the day before that was Minneapolis, and I went from what the hell happened to, oh, good. So
we
got that.
Sweet.
Yes. We got some favorite tweets or liked tweets, because I got people been tweeting me stuff.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right, let's see. What do we got, Max Bata?
So this first tweet, it's from at I Got Kids Yo Age, and it is he tweeted a sticker that says, we need more heroes like this, and it's the back of a car window with a sticker that says,
yes,
driver carries no cash, she rescues dogs.
I was thinking
double message.
I was thinking
it's not a cab, by the way. The driver carries
right.
no cash
just
thing.
An SUV.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, and it's also, it's pretty antiquated. It's like, got rescuers?
Yeah.
Like, the driver carries no cash is, I don't know, in the Uber world we're living in doesn't really apply.
It's so, like, you're no kidding. What's
nobody
cash?
Nobody cares.
Right. Okay, hero. And then I started drilling down. Like, I'm trying to figure out when we kind of jump the shark. So I've said to you, everyone wants to be a hero. No one wants to climb into the octagon.
Right.
Or nobody wants to be engage with another Soviet MiG and have them have their missile lock on them. Like, we all want to be seen that way, but then there's the actual action of being that way. The doc that won the Academy Award was the free climber guy. Yeah. We'd all like to be that guy, except for the part where we don't want to go up the devil's
El Capitan.
The devil's hamper with no rope. Yeah. So there's this. We have to weigh it out.
Yeah.
So now
we get the most bang for our buck by doing the least.
We've discovered a way to have both. We can be heroes by getting free dogs, which sort of nice.
It's a win-win.
The sad reality is, no one thinks of you as a hero. You've just announced you're a hero. The problem with proclaiming you're a hero is, if everybody proclaims they're a hero simultaneously, there are no heroes. If you say, now the award for most valuable player on the team, and the entire team stands up and walks up to the podium, there really is no valuable, most valuable player. But I started my whole... So my whole youth, there was something called the pound. And when someone went to the pound, they got a free dog. And if somebody got a pound dog, we sort of looked at him as, I guess you didn't have the money to go to the mall and get a real dog. You just got the sloppy seconds.
You got a CPO dog.
Yes. And I get all the rescue part. I mean, I get the part where the puppy mills and all that kind of stuff. But just when I was a kid, if somebody had a purebred German Shepherd or Labrador or whatever, it's like, that family has their shit together. They went to the mall and they got themselves a real dog. You guys went to the pound, got yourself a free dog. And that's what the pound was. The pound, in terms of dogs, had a little bit of a negative connotation to it. Like, you could only, you guys, like the Corollas, couldn't have any dog because you have to buy kibble and clean up poop and look after, rub bellies and drive to the pound. But if we were good enough, we would have been a pound dog family, and it wouldn't be because we were heroes. It's because we were zeros and we wouldn't pay zero for a dog.
Right.
So somewhere around this time where people who got free dogs from the pound started announcing they were rescuers. They were like, dog first responders.
Mm-hmm. So who rescued who, bumper stickers?
If someone could figure out that date, that's about the time we started jumping the shark.
You know what may have precipitated this, Jeannie? You might remember this from your childhood, our childhood.
Wait, can we say it at the same time? One, two, three.
Pound puppies.
I knew it.
Do you remember the toy? Obviously, it wasn't your demo, but in the 80s or thereabouts, there were pound puppies.
Very fashionable.
It was very fashionable. It was very
little toys, stuffed animals.
They were adorable little stuffed dogs.
I had at least one.
Find pound puppies.
This must have shown up about the time I voted stickers came in. Because I don't think I voted stickers were around in the 50s and the 60s and 70s and 80s. I don't think so. The I voted thing is much the same thing, which is, first off, it's kind of your job to vote as a citizen. But secondly, I wouldn't call it impressive.
No.
It's just you did it. I don't know why you need to show up at the office and let everyone know that you voted.
Yeah.
There's a pound puppy.
Yep, there they are. And they're
adorable.
So sad.
Comes in a box.
Yeah. Just look. Adopt me. Rescue me.
I don't know if I had. Did I have a few paragraphs on this in my book, Max Spada? And not pound puppy, just in case. I know Dawson talks to you.
You have thoughts on pound puppies?
I have no thoughts on pound puppies. I do sort of try to break down our society and try to figure out when people started doing the virtue signaling and when we started sort of jumping the shark that direction. And I little things, like, nobody would ever call themselves a rescuer who just went and got a free dog in the past. But I also don't know how long I voted stickers have been around. Now, I'm sure They've been around longer in California.
That's probably true.
Than Indiana, because we like to virtue signal a little more than other states, perhaps. But I'm kind of curious when that started.
All right, so this is in 50 years, we'll all be chicks, guys you can't hang out with. One of them is guys who announce they, quote, rescue dogs. You didn't go into a burning warehouse or the roof of a flooded barn to get the dog. You went to the pound because you were too cheap to go to the mall. You don't love dogs nearly as much as you love the idea of people thinking you're a hero. You ever notice people who buy their dogs rarely discuss how they got them versus these a-holes who work the phrase, she's a rescue, into every effing conversation? What do you want, Spielberg to make a movie about you? I'd love to follow one of these douchebags around for a year with a clicker counter bouncers use at the door of the club and find out how many times they utter the phrase, quote, she's a rescue. Over-under would be 15,000. When I was a kid, all of the sofas in my house were freebies we got from other people who were throwing them out. My mom never once referred to them as rescues.
Powerful.
Wow.
That's a powerful statement.
Finally giving it to those rescuers.
They've had it too good for too long.
That was my mom. That was our version of a new sofa. Someone else's old sofa that we put a sheet on. That is the sad. It's a sad thing. I think IKEA has probably done away with that move where you put a sheet over, essentially, reupholster your sofa with the sheet.
I have a little info on the I voted stickers.
Yeah, I'm curious.
So you're right on the money. They first started making an appearance in 1982, but really picked up steam in 85 through 87.
Hmm. And are there did they just go all national at once?
No, they said they started in, I believe it started in Miami, and then it went to Phoenix, and it became national pretty much in 87, I'm looking at.
All right, so the people who go to the pounds and get dogs are good people. The people who then put stickers on their SUVs explaining they did that are bad people. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. You do a bunch of things that I don't need to know about, and you can just go ahead and do that as a good person. Go get a dog, go vote, love your kids, do whatever you got to do, and just do it for you.
Yeah, do it quietly.
I don't need to know about it. As a matter of fact,
I'd prefer not to.
All right. I wrestle on the I gave blood sticker. It's a little more committed than the vote
You are probably saving a human life, or at least an emergency situation.
But under my logic, you still may not display that sticker. All right, what's the next one you got, Max Pata?
All right, so this next one was tweeted to you. It's about a emotional support pit bull that mauled a 5-year-old girl in Portland. There's a story that came out today. The mom is suing.
Hold on. In Mike Vick's backyard? Where could this be? Look, if that little kid hopped the fence and got into the backyard of this person in this crime-riddled neighborhood, well, then that's an issue. So I need to know where it was. Was it Vick's? Was it the pit on Vick's property? Or was it just a backyard in South Central?
This one, surprisingly, neither. It's Portland International Airport.
At an airport?
Weirdest thing.
What's a dog doing in an airport?
So this was sent to you by at Lance Hardy, and the article states that the mom is suing the airport, Alaska Airlines.
Hold on, private airport owned by Mike Vick, or a public airport?
We're gonna drill down on this.
This is a public airport.
First off, the piles of defecation and the diarrhea and everything I see at LAX, or the kid getting mauled by the pit. How could it go? Can it go any other way?
No, this is the end. This is the logical end point.
It's impossible. You have a dog.
Of course, it's going to happen.
The dog is being dragged around by someone who's presumably a little unstable.
Sure.
So maybe not the greatest sort of yardstick to measure the dog and how it reacts with people. I'm sure that person was like, "Well, the dog was only scared and trying to protect me." Yeah. Things you need to factor into the 5-year-old with no face. Mm-hmm. So you are a very bad point of the. The point of entry, the part who gets to decide where the dog goes to the airport, is a crazy middle-aged bitch. So that's no good. Then you just have sounds and lights and traffic and people
feet.
And other dogs
other
and feet and noises
like
and a higher,
yep.
Whatever.
Smells.
Yes, and it's going to end up with a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so the lawsuit is against the airport, Alaska Airlines, for allegedly allowing the owner, she was able to bring the dog into the gate waiting area where the attack happened when the dog wasn't a trained service animal and wasn't properly confined. And they're also suing the owner, so she's getting sued as well.
All right. Into the air cannon. Into the air cannon. We got to test the metallurgy of the impeller and the propeller on that big Rolls-Royce jet engine that powers the 777. Just fire it up, baby. Pink mist. And then we video the whole thing, and we just pipe it in on every TV set.
Put it out there.
In every airport. And
it might not be you, but it might be.
Right. Well, you don't know.
Yeah.
This is what could happen if you don't have a legitimate use for your dog at the airport. If you're blind, don't worry about it. If, I don't know.
Service members.
If it's pulling your wheelchair or something like Ben-Hur or something, fine. But if it's just a comfort thing, no.
I obviously hope that little girl's okay, but I also hope this is the tipping point to where, you know, there's a crackdown. This has gotten out of hand.
Yes.
You know, pay for it, put your dog in a crate, or actually have a service dog. You know?
Or take the train.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this presumes that people will do the right thing if you just sort of use your honor code. Mm-hmm. This is, hey, I can just leave a big plastic pumpkin filled with Reese's Pieces in the front of my yard on Halloween because the wife and I are out of town, and I'll just put a little note. Limit yourself to one miniature Hershey's bar per person. And then you come back, and within 8 minutes, it's empty and someone has defecated into it. So, sadly, that's where we're living. I do believe before there was airline travel, ironically, like this would have worked turn of the, you know, in 1907, this would have worked. Like people had some decorum. It wasn't a
self-policing.
It wasn't a cage match. Like it wasn't every person for themselves. It was just a sort of, you don't do this because we're not the kind of people who do that.
Yeah. Just wasn't done.
We sort of self-governed back then. Now, it's also, it is the slippery slope of way too many rules.
Flights were so much better in 1907.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Orville Wilbur.
The slippery slope of rules is sort of the slippery slope of the IRS, which is if somebody said, look, we just take 25% out of every dollar you make and there are no write-offs, there are no dependencies, there's no anything, and everyone just gets 25% of every dollar you make, I'd be completely fine with that. But we want 45%, but there's a bunch of rules. So it forces you to start going, how do I get around these rules? And the more rules there are, the more ways society is trying to navigate around the rules, sadly. But it's also, I don't know. I often think about a sort of religious breakdown as well. As an atheist, I still wonder, like, I feel like religion used to keep more people in line a little bit, but maybe that's me. I don't know. I just feel like there's a decline of religion and a raising of every man for themselves. I mean, religion is sort of the opposite of every man for themselves, at least in theory. You're supposed to be looking at that guy, and we're in a kind of looting phase where we've broken into some stereo store and everyone's just running around grabbing stuff, and it's kind of like because we can.
Yeah.
Well, think about it. How much crime is there in Utah? I imagine it's quite below the average.
Utah is insane. Utah, you walk into, and when you live in LA and you're used to seeing toilets dumped out by your workplace and graffiti everywhere, Utah is almost confusing. It looks...
Did I die?
It looks bizarre. Yeah, I'm in Salt Lake City. I don't know if there's a south side of Utah on the other side of the tracks.
The wrong side.
But I'm just saying that you don't see graffiti, you don't see garbage, you don't see all the shopping carts that have been had the wheels pulled off it and turned over and lit on fire. Like, you just don't see all of what we see here. All right. Is there one more?
Yeah, so someone just tweeted you this picture of a goat cheese and lox bagel.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
I got to tell you, I find so many things wrong with this bagel.
And the bagel itself.
The bagel itself.
It.
The bagel.
That's an everything bagel,
it's
girl.
Disgusting. I know. It's too much poppy seed ratio.
The everything bagel's a nothing bagel. It's like saying,
your MVP,
it's like saying
analogy.
The everything ice cream. Like everything ice cream is 15 flavors of ice cream, which is no flavor
mint
of ice cream.
Bubble gum and chocolate.
Yeah, it's just.
It's no good.
Give me coffee or mint and chip or whatever, but don't give me everything. This bagel is, you can't see the bagel itself because it's covered in poppy seeds and caraway seeds and everything else. So the bagel itself is a disaster. The goat cheese is like, look, I don't like goat cheese, but if somebody tells me they enjoy goat cheese, I don't hold it against them. I politely explain, we'll never speak again, but I don't hold it against them. No, there's Max Apata likes goat cheese, and I was yelling at him, and then he went, I like goat. And I was like, okay, but my
fair enough
beef, thank pardon you. The pun, with goat cheese is it tastes like goat, and I don't like goat. But if Max Apata, you grow up on some insane island where people breathe through bamboo, and I mean, when they're underwater, but that's a lot of the time. And, you know, that's you. And if you want to eat goat, that's fine. And if you like goat cheese because you like goat, I'm gonna make an exception. I'm gonna grandfather you in.
Goat cheese forelocks.
And he walked on down the hall.
Breathing through bamboo.
All right. That's the end. That's your culture. But that's fine. You eat shrimp tails and shrimp heads. You do things that only cats and garbage
and
disposals do.
And goats, ironically.
You are as discerning as a garbage disposal and or a feral cat when it comes to what you consume.
But you appreciate that, right? Because I'm not wasting anything.
I do. I love it.
He's like a stoned garbage disposal.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan. And so you are grandfathered in and that you like goat cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. It isn't so much that. It's that you've replaced cream cheese.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
With goat cheese.
On a bagel.
Cream cheese is awesome on a bagel. And cream cheese and lox and tomato and the schmear and the whole nine yards. It's all the best. Mm-hmm. And now you have taken this and removed it. Not because we're out of cream cheese. You've decided to go another direction. So it's like,
yes,
pizza's great. Provolone is great. Provolone or whatever. What's the pizza? What's the cheese we do on pizza?
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella. Yeah. Mozzarella on pizza. Whatever. That's all fine. But if you swap that out for goat cheese, now we have an issue.
And the problem here is in that they're not assuming they're it's not that they're assuming people like goat cheese. They're presupposing incorrectly people prefer goat cheese over cream cheese. You're even like goat cheese. I like goat cheese. I would prefer it on a bagel over cream cheese. That's insane.
The silent masses.
Right.
That we're assuming are out there.
Who prefer you exactly?
Clamoring. You know, there's an argument that if you're doing a beet salad and you want some goat cheese with your beet salad, then that's an argument for goat cheese because I don't know if cream cheese would be good on a beet salad, but this is not that. This exists. People like it. Leave it alone. Stop reinventing things. And there's no doubt we can thank the San Francisco Bay for this because all the highfalutin people came out of there. And then they thought, well, you know what? All the things as you knew it, not good. Yeah. We need to change it.
Not good enough.
And it did not work. You're a Jew, Gina. How say you?
This is disgusting. It's an abomination and it goes against God.
Fast.
Thank you.
Yeah, fast.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
He'll rant on and he'll never get tired. Keep sending him the tweet till lie.
All right. I want to give a little love to my friend Mike Rowe, who we all just love. Looking for another great podcast? How about you check out his podcast, The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. Really unique takes on American history, pop culture, and politics. Actors to athletes, history to Hollywood. It's all there. Each episode is only 10 minutes or less. Stories for the curious mind with a short attention span. America's number one short form podcast. And download more than 87 million times. I love Mike Rowe. I love his, I love Dirty Jobs. I love the whole foundation about getting kids back to work and using their hands.
He has a Pay It Forward show. He's great.
He's the real deal. So if you're interested in learn about family arguments back, like the other thing you learn is nothing is new.
Nope.
Like people would sit around the table in the 1800s and Thanksgiving and have the same arguments that families are having now about Trump and Hillary Clinton that have the exact same thing. back then. But only not about Trump and Hillary Clinton.
It would be weird.
Go to MikeRowe.com/podcast today. That is MikeRowe.com/podcast and check it out. Good guy. Yes.
You know what's really fun to do with this show? I've heard almost all of them. I love them. They're amazing. They're set up like mysteries, so he doesn't reveal who he's talking about until the very end, and it's fun to try and figure it out before he gets there. It's really well written.
Yeah, it's got a little...
thick and wooden.
It's got a little...
Paul Harvey.
Yes. Good day. Like, he'd do these things, and he'd talk about something, and he'd lay it all out, and he'd go, and that man was John Denver. And you'd go, oh, no, my God. There was like, you had no idea with all the different stuff he was talking about, all the travels and everything. It's kind of a fun kind of reverse engineering to do on a life. All right. Hey, Craig, 52, from Minnesota, went to the screening last night. Craig?
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for going last night. Tell us all about it.
Well, it was very good, very enjoyable. I had lots of laughs. It started off kind of slow, and then the pace quickened, and it was the theater was just raucous and laughing, and I think everybody enjoyed it. It was anybody who's on the fence should definitely get a ticket. I thought it was just great. And then you get that theater experience, too. Sometimes you sort of feed off the laughter of the others. But I don't know. I can't say enough good things about it. I'm kind of a big fan. I've been listening for a number of years. I just thought it was great.
Well, I thank you. Whenever you come up with something, you do something. You make a movie, a sitcom, a doc, even a doc, less or so a doc, but especially a stand-up special. Man, when you hear people go like, oh, I'll check it out. I got a flight coming up. I'll watch it on my computer. I'm always going, no. Because there's like somebody's going to come by with a cart and offer you a Molson beer like somewhere around minute 18.
Some pit bull's going to maul you.
Yes. And then at minute 41, the person at the window is going to need to go to the bathroom. And you think it's a thing. It's interesting. I've never really thought about this. But people think... They think they can multitask. Mm-hmm. How many times you talk to someone who's like looking at their phone and you're like, hey, listen. And they're like, yeah, I got it. And you're like, no, you don't have it. You think you have it, but you don't have it.
It's literally a daily conversation between Christy and I. Like, I'll tell her something, she'll be on her phone, and I'll try as politely as I can. It comes off as passive aggressive, but like, I'll wait. And she goes, I can do two things at once. I'm like, I know you can, but I prefer you listen to me right now.
I know. It's great living with people where all suggestions are taken as attacks.
There's no nice way to say, go ahead, finish what you're doing.
I have the exact same thing with Lynette, which is like, look, you were texting when I walked into the room. I'm not holding it against you. I'm just saying, I'll wait till you're done. And then it's like, ugh. It's like, okay.
What?
Yeah.
What are the alternatives here?
It is an attack.
I'm simply saying finish and then I shall speak. I'll wait. Like,
yep.
So it's an attack, though. It's definitely an attack.
I should learn my lesson.
Yes. I mean, you're John Wayne Bobbitt. You're basically what you are. You're somewhere between Ike Turner and John Wayne Bobbitt in terms of your approach to the relationship.
Pimp man.
Yes. Yeah. So, when you do a stand-up special or whatever, having people in a theater enjoying it together completely changes the experience. Whatever the drop-off is, if you decide to watch it at home on your computer. Now, look, if you want to buy it and watch it on your big screen and shut the lights and have a glass of wine and wait till Friday night, so be it. But the sort of check it out on your phone or your computer diminishes it quite a bit. Craig?
Yes. Yeah, I'd like to add, I really liked the format. When you got to the monitor and then started going through, I hope I'm not giving too much away by saying, you went through some photographs, and that was fantastic in feeding off the bits from the photographs on the monitor. I thought was a unique thing that you probably do quite well, but it's more than just a stand-up one guy with a mic, and so I appreciated that. And I thought there was a lot of good new stuff or new takes on similar themes that you hear throughout your show. And then I thought there was a little bit of inside jokes, too, for those of us that have been longtime listeners. So But I don't want to discourage anybody who is sort of new to the show not to go. But you could tell there was a lot of fans there at the Minneapolis screening. It was there was a ton of laughs, and people, I felt they really enjoyed themselves.
Well, thanks. And thanks for going, Craig. And we'll try to keep this going. And again, a few months ago, basically, the Netflix guy just said, I watch 15 minutes and I'm not interested. So this would be a nice comeback from between. I mean, it's the weirdest thing in the world. Thank you, Craig. I talked to my agent sort of the next day, and he just kind of gave me the, I don't know. So it's like you spend 8 years creating something. You go out, you hire a crew and a jib and everything. You film the whole thing, and then you go whack the whole thing together, and you basically have 72 minutes of your life, and you're very proud of it, and it's years in the making and so on and so forth. And then you present it to Netflix, and they go, meh. And then you talk to your agent. Now, to be fair to my agent goes off of the reaction of others. So if you did the pilot for Family Guy and showed it and ABC passed on it, then if you talk to Dixon, he'd go, all right, well, that's no good. What's our next project? Right. He doesn't go, they didn't like it, but I like it. We need to do something. It's right. Like his thing is like dead, moving on. So we gave it to Netflix. The guy's like, I watched 15 minutes. And then Dixon talked to him. And then I talked to Dixon like the next day. And he's like, well, anyway, moving on.
I
don't want to move on that fast. This took a long time and a lot of effort and a lot of money and a lot of everything else to do. So maybe we shouldn't move on so fast.
Well, and we can say at least two people who sat in a giant audience and watched this on
the cruise. The kilt.
People were, oh, my God. I mean, obviously, they were excited to be there anyway and see this in the making. But it not only was it just hysterical, but it is so much fun to watch it with a crowd.
Well, thanks. And to be fair, it's not like Dixon watched it. He just talked to the
Why would he
talked to the Netflix guy who watched between 4 and 7 minutes of it and said he was moving on. So let's be fair. All right. If you went to the screening. So if you went last night, you can give us a call. Oh, I'll put the number up. 877-564-2326.
Or if you need your piano tuned.
And you can give us a call at about 4 p.m. Eastern time and let us know. And then we'll talk about it. I'm very curious about it. But it's also, it's just such a long road to go down. And it's weird when it just goes away so quickly after the road. So I'm going to try to enjoy it. You guys should too. We got Eat Your Feelings. I'm excited about. I'm bumped by Ocean's 8. I watch Ocean's 8.
You see the whole thing?
Well, you know what happened? This is a two-way street here, Brian.
Okay.
The two-way street is we all have had the movie that was built up too much, and then we finally got around to seeing it, and then we left the theater or our den and went, not as good as everyone made it out to be.
True.
That is a syndrome, and it cannot be helped.
Yep.
It is like built up. Then you see it, it's a little let down. That's how it works. Ocean's 8 was built down. First, it was like, oh, it's abortion. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, what do we need girls doing this for? Blah, blah, blah. Sandra Bullock is very likable.
So is likable.
And the way the Ocean's movies are made, it's like jingling keys over a crib, and you're an infant, you know, so they move along,
very stylish.
And the music
punchy.
Moves along. So I ended up just watching it, and it's, again, I like to sort of watch and see who the cameos are and see why it got made and blah, blah, blah. But there was a scene, spoiler alert, at the very end, she went to the mausoleum where Danny, her brother, was buried. George Clooney was buried, and she went to go basically make peace with him after the one last job, or he would have been proud. Or I know, it's always a weird thing. It's like, yeah, my brother would have been proud that I ripped off a bunch of stuff that wasn't mine and sold it
Chip
to some
old block
family values.
Sold it to some guys running an OPEC nation. Like, yeah, awesome
this
for,
one's
you.
For you, bro.
Yeah. But, all right, and she went there, and she walked up to the mausoleum, and of course, I have to do what I do, is I have to check the dates on everyone else who died at the mausoleum, including Danny Ocean, who I think was a 63 to 2018. I like when movies make people an age too. Like, oh, he's that old. Okay. The picture, and you can stop where she's pouring a martini and she's in front of the, well, you can sort of pull out Maxipat or pull in or pull out or whatever it is.
We'll pull in. This is only, we don't have a still of this.
Danny Oceans is above. Somebody named Helga
McMeyer?
Meyer. Yeah, that person was born in 1992 and did not see 2011, people.
Jesus. That 18-year-old Helga died in 2010.
Yeah, it could have been 17 and three quarters.
A teenage Helga.
I'm like, boy, this person didn't graduate high school.
How about the person right next to him?
That's the other person that was born in 1979 and died in 2008. We got some pretty young dead people here.
That's pretty sad.
And I'm just looking at it and I'm going,
morbid.
It's a little like anyone who drives around Los Angeles and sees the bumper sticker on the back of the gardening truck that's honoring Hidalgo, and it's like, geez, he was born in 89. He didn't died in 06. Like, what? Like, you do like a weird, it's super depressing.
The mobile memorials.
The mobile, but it, when you see someone is like born in 1929, died 2014,
good,
you go,
them.
Okay, all right. I'm sure they have some grandkids who mourned at whatever. When you see someone is born in the 90s, and didn't get past 2010. Mm-hmm. So I'm just looking at it, and Maxipat will pull back, and we'll show the whole thing at some point as you get an idea. But here's my thing. I'm going to tease it, and you guys tell me. I'm sure they just found a mausoleum. They found a thing, and they went, we just need to set dress one.
One plot, one slab,
one 28-inch by 28-inch slab of Carrara marble.
Focus,
we'll put Danny Ocean's name on it, and we'll change the dates up. I would have also noticed a few of the dates around it, and went, this is gonna bump people, or this seems a little off-putting. I don't want
it
anything
draws
in the 90s. So as long as we're making up fake things to graft on, make three more.
Keep the kids out of it, the minors.
It's not their fault.
I don't know. What do you guys think? Well, you guys tell me. I'll let you noodle on what happened. First, I'll tell you about MedMen 2019. Yes, Maxipat, I need the establishing shot.
Yeah, well, we're pulling the scene
Thank
right now.
Thank you. Because if we don't have the establishing shot, Maxipat, we don't really know. Know what I'm saying? Morant, in general, for everything. 2019, just started, yet history's already been made. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment. When a product that once drove good people to the black market has been revealed as one that's now creating a global market. Used to inspire a symbol of counterculture, and long last, it's just culture. So the new normal has arrived, and MedMen has put together a video that is spectacular.
It's very cool.
Oh, you watched
it? It's awesome. Yeah, I watched it yesterday.
And we have to now guess who the very famous director was who did that. Not you, Brian. You may get it.
I know.
It's 2 minutes long. It's The New Normal. It seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. And you can watch this video at MedMen.com. That is MedMen.com. Yes, Maxipat, we always need the establishing thing.
All right, you got it.
Yes. In everything. All the time. She walks up the big wall of... at the mausoleum, she's going to pour herself a martini and toast Danny. And
here's to a job well done, bro.
Yeah. Well, only three people died. All right, so there's Danny and his thing. But again, just below and just above him are the people who never saw their 30th birthday. One died as a teenager.
Way easiest to see is the teenager.
Oh, now it's pulling in on the teenager.
No. It's as prominent, more prominent than martini.
Right. All right. So some young chick named
Helga. It's still in frame. The camera's moving. It's still in frame. Oh, boy.
Still.
It's weird, right? Someone who was born in 92 is dead, everybody. And I'm sure there's some heartbreaking story about Helga.
Wonder if the family noticed that this is in the movie. Would I be around?
I would normally say yes, except for I now think no one notices anything at any time.
That's my guess. I think no one noticed. So the movie was directed by Gary Ross, who's a good director, visual director, Pleasantville, Seabiscuit. He does these sort of... And that was a very good-looking shot. That was like a jib shot that started mm-hmm. up above, came around, down below, finally focused on her. I think the lighting was where he wanted it. I think the blocking of everything was where he wanted it. He didn't even care or notice. And if he noticed, he didn't care about the teenage victim in the foreground. Victim.
I would notice. But that's my job. All right, Gina, we're going to dismiss you. You're going to start making and being with the eat Our Feelings, which I have no idea what she's whipped up, but I'm excited to consume it. Let's see. Haley Joel Osment is here. He's 30. He's been around since Forrest Gump, right?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, he's 4 years old when he's Forrest Gump.
I'm still surprised that he's not over 30. He should be on a tombstone in that movie.
Little Forrest.
The movie is coming out with Zac Efron, Lily Collins. Can I say this?
It's the Ted Bundy movie, right?
Yeah, Brian, you tell me.
Mm, they want to know.
I watched a trailer. It looks good. I'm into the
whole thing. I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued and everything like that. And Ted Bundy was a good-looking guy.
Indeed.
But he wasn't jacked. Like, he wasn't Hugh Jackman Wolverine. Mm. Do we need the scene where Zac Efron's taking his shirt off and Ted Bundy is basically a fitness model?
What we need to do is, Hollywood needs to do a little more of the I, Tonya model, which they did their best to, you know, get Margot Robbie's vision of all visions, you know, to be the Tonya Harding.
Well, I know it's in Zac's rider that he needs to take his shirt off at some point, but could we just tell him to, like, exhale while we film him or something? Like... He's jacked, and it's like, I've seen a million pictures of Ted Bundy, who's a nice-looking guy, who seems trim, but he doesn't...
Potentially in shape.
But he doesn't seem like a middleweight Soviet boxer.
Yeah, this is like the punchline to the story you tell on stage, where it's like, Zac Efron takes his shirt off and everything, he does the Ted Bundy story. And
right.
He actually did it in the Ted Bundy story.
I mean,
my God.
I get it. He looks good with his shirt off, but it wasn't like Ted Bundy, fitness expert and serial killer. Ted Bundy, personal trainer and serial killer. It wasn't that. It was just Ted Bundy, guy in a sweater.
Yeah. He was a normal dude, right? I mean, normal dude. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't an exceptional athlete, from what I understand.
Yeah, he's just a skinny guy.
Okay. I'm just saying, as long as we're making the movie.
Christian Bale can put on 50 pounds.
What I'm saying is, are we portraying somebody who we're aware of exists, and do we have photos of that? And if the answer is yes, whether it's Jim Morrison or Ted Bundy or whoever it is, you do your best to get as close as you possibly can to that. And if Ted wasn't featured in a Peloton campaign, then maybe Zach shouldn't be shredded for the role.
Do you know Ted wasn't featured in Peloton?
I do not.
Okay, well,
we'll have to check that. All right. I was walking my dog today, and a guy came out of an office and said, hey, you're going to be at the Peterson on the 10th? And I said, yes, I am.
Can you tune my piano?
I'm going to be down there walking the dog. How dare. I'll be down there with my car. So the 10th, Sunday, Dawson. Sunday, the 10th. Come on out and see us. The show's sold out at night. Kim will be there, but Leno will be there during the day, and Danny Trejo, and then we'll do the whole car thing during the day. And then I think there's a couple tickets left for Uppity, although I don't know. Willie T will be out there as well. All right. Brea in Denver going to be doing a live stand-up there as well. Adam Carolla's Unprepared. And... the digital download for Not Taco Bell material is going to drop on this Tuesday, March 5th. I think that's right.
There you go.
You can go to chassis.com and iTunes and just pre-order it. It would be nice. All right.
Here's a picture of Ted Bundy with his shirt off.
Well, okay. He's trim.
Yeah.
He's trim. He's,
yeah, but he doesn't have jacked. Bulging arms. Like yes,
I know. I know. All right.
Looks like a runner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Running from the cops, running after victims.
It's good not to be rotund when you have to escape facilities.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it involves climbing out of windows and shimmering down drain pipes and things of that
air
nature.
Ducts, yeah.
And big dudes can't get away with that. Okay, we will take ourselves a quick break. And we'll be back with Eat Your Feelings right after this.
The Adam Carolla Show celebrates a decade of podcasting. March 10th at the Peterson Auto Museum. The fun begins at 2 p.m. with the 10-year anniversary show, CarCast, with Adam Carolla, Matt DeAndrea, and special guest Jay Leno. Plus a celebrity car show throughout the day. At 5 p.m., join us for the screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs story, followed by a Q&A with the Ace Man and Willie T. And at 8 p.m., the 10-year anniversary podcast of The Adam Carolla Show, featuring Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Tickets for CarCast, The Car Show, and the Uppity screening are still available. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com. And now, a real Rotten Tomatoes review of The Wizard of Oz.
I sat cringing before MGM's Technicolor production of The Wizard of Oz, which displays no trace of imagination, good taste, or ingenuity.
That was a real Rotten Tomatoes review from Russell Maloney of The New Yorker of The Wizard of Oz, certified fresh at 98%. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Does it say what year those things come from? Because if it does, we should include that part. I'd be very curious.
Feels like a contemporary review of you know, from the day.
Yeah, from the day. All right, Gina Grad, we have sampled her offerings, and
But did they like it?
La.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga.
She could not stop beating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night, and ever since then her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
That was, by the way, the review was from 1939.
Wow.
Yep.
Bizarre. Well, here's a palate cleanser. Chicken cacciatore was today's offering. Something I love and really believe doesn't need to be spooned over pasta. I think it's pretty hearty as it is.
Yeah.
So this was easy. I mean, for me now, from how I cook all the time.
You got it from complicatedrecipes.com?
You know what? Let me rephrase that. Oh, that was one of my pictures of it. It's easy because it's all in one pot. I think that's how I measure if it's easy or not. I can't do 18 different saucepans going at once. I'm not wired that way. It's too hard. I don't like it. When everything goes in one pot, to me, I'm like, oh, that was easy. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you know, the chopping and the schlepping and whatever. So these are chicken thighs, which I think makes it a little more moist and flavorful. Just season them, salt and pepper, sear them, just so they're kind of crispy, and then put them aside.
I got a thigh sigh that I'd like to put in. Lynette made lemon chicken the other Sunday night.
Delish.
Got the sort of half drumsticks.
Don't be a one-upper, like I said before.
Half thighs. Mm-hmm. I am very thigh-oriented and not so much with the drumstick. Maybe it's the phallic nature of it.
That could be
Shoving that in your mouth. Like drumsticks when I was a kid, but as I got older, I like the thigh meat, a bit more.
And the thigh often overlooked.
Yeah, and so it's like 50-50 thigh mix, because that's what came in the pack.
Right.
As I discussed it with Lynette. And so we had a bunch of kids like come over, and we ate everything, and everything was delectable. And then the next night, I was like, I'm having that lemon chicken again, and there was just drumsticks left. And I was like, Olga, what'd you do with those thighs? You're like, I gave them to the kids. And I'm like, kids like they like drumsticks. And I was like, Sonny, what do you like? He's like, I like a drumstick. I'm like, Olga.
Oh, yeah. We got that bucket of KFC chicken as a kid. Go right for the drumstick.
That's for six-year-olds.
Right. Anyway.
So the thighs,
you know.
Very flavorful.
So the great thing about the thigh is sort of Vinnie Tortorich and his entire sort of gestalt and world and everything distilled down to a chicken part, which is we all used to do the skinless breast. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, it's so dry and blah, blah, blah. But I want to do the right thing. And the thigh is so much more flavorful and the skin and everything else. Yeah. And now you can be good and enjoy your thigh.
Absolutely. So after we sear these, we just set them aside. We know they're not cooked. Don't worry about it. They'll get cooked. We toss in the vegetables. I use spinach, yellow bell pepper because I take notes. Mushroom, onion. Get that going with the seasonings. And then the Holy Trinity. Crushed tomato, heavy whipping cream, and a little bit of red wine. Nice. That makes for a really delectable sauce. You put the whole thing in
red wine for the chicken, some for mama.
Some for mama. You put the whole thing in an oven-safe big casserole dish. You bake it so the chicken skin gets nice and crispy and everything's nice and braised. And it's done. And I think people like it. And it's going to be featured on my new website that's up. It's grainfreecomfortfood.com. And I think Kaylin's going to show it to you. I took all the pictures. I made all the food. I did all the recipes.
It looks like a real website.
Thank you.
It really looks good. And
I'm really excited about it.
Let me do my Bewitched sitcom client from out of town who's flown in to look at Stevens' new campaign in front of Larry Tate. I don't like it. I
love it.
And then everyone goes nuts. Yeah. No one ever speaks that. No one speaks that way in real life.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I love it.
It was like that was the end of every sitcom in the 60s and 70s.
Happy ending.
Must have been easier to write sitcoms back then.
Yeah, there's a formula.
How do we end our sitcoms? Yeah. I don't know. How they end Beverly Hillbillies last week? Okay, we'll do the Granny fell in the pool. Just find a grandma that fell in the pool. I mean the cement pond. Sorry, yes, it's delicious.
Thank you. So I'm having a ton of fun doing this, and I'm still losing weight, thank God. And I'm really excited about this website. I've been working on it for a really long time.
Are all the recipes there?
All the recipes are there. And Even the bad ones. Okay. Thanks, Brian. I'm going to keep churning those out. And you can sign up, because I'm gonna have a newsletter. So sign up at grainfreecomfortfood.com, and I'll shoot you a newsletter, and I'm excited. We'll see where this goes.
I joke, but please describe my plate.
It is empty.
It is empty.
So he demolished.
I love that.
It demolishes. Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you. I'm having fun. Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating.
Regina's recipe. Haley Joel Osment is here, so we'll bring him in a second. Talk about the jacked Ted Bundy. By the way.
And only talk about that.
Somewhere up in heaven, Ted is smiling, seeing a ripped Zac Efron.
The tribute.
That was one of the, anyone who rarely talk about Windy City Heat, but.
Should be brought up more.
It should be brought up more. You guys, I don't even know where do you find Windy City Heat?
Let's look.
I'd call it a cult classic, but not enough people have seen it, but.
That's the definition of a cult classic.
I know, but it also a cult classic
does become popular over time.
You have to be able to say to somebody the name of the cult classic, and they have to recognize it. But one of the scenes in Windy City Heat is, we were telling Scary Perry, you need to demand a stunt double. You need a double. Wow. And we got this guy that was like 400 pounds. And Perry was like, that's my double. Yeah, we got you a body double. It's like, this guy was morbidly obese. And he was like, that's not me. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we found a guy.
Looks exactly. Like,
I mean, you know, from behind, you know, we can't see the face. And then he was like, so there was the first get the fat stunt double. And then the next part was turn the lovemaking scene. The stunt double had to step in and make love to the girl. And he was like, what? And then he was like, and then at a certain point, of course, he was like, get rid of the double. And they got rid of the double. And then, of course, the next scene is him being thrown into a dumpster.
Right.
That's good fun.
You know, you might be onto something with the cult classic, because it is not even listed on justwatch.com, the site that I use to find where things are streaming. And that's a deep dive if you're not in there.
Oh, I mean, they have stuff on there that no one's ever
heard
of.
If you can't find the movie. I did find that it's apparently on YouTube, its entirety. So if you want to head on over there for apparently for free.
Or
type it into YouTube.
There's 19 DVDs available on Amazon, says Max Zapata.
Own your own.
All right. Haley Joel is here. We'll bring him in 1 second. I'll tell you first about Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts away from each other and fighting that power-robbing friction. It is three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetics against viscosity breakdown as per the Kurt Urban test of 5W30 viscosity grade. So they went against the other full synthetics, and it is three times stronger. Castrol Edge, y'all. All right. We shall bring Haley Joel in here. Take a quick break. We'll be right back with Haley.
Hey, ACS fans. Lynette here. Lasagna baker extraordinaire and lover of all carbs that Adam can't eat. Pussy. Anyway, I wanted to tell you guys that space is filling up for the Corolla Family Barbecue. It's filling up fast. Turns out tons of people are interested in coming to the studio to see where the podcast is recorded and hang out for dinner in the parking lot with everyone from the network. Everyone you guys love. Adam, Gina, Brian, Dawson, myself, lackeys, drinking, grilling, talking to you guys all night long, ba-beep, ba-beep. So if you want 2 tickets to the barbecue, there's only one thing you can do. Head to CorollaDrinks.com and sign up for the 12-pack case club now because spots are going fast, so you got to hurry. So come join us for the Corolla Family Barbecue June 22nd at the ACS Studios exclusively for our 12-pack case club members. We love you guys.